Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Stacy Kendrick with Health and Wellness. Today I'm joined by Dr. Melanie Swift, and she is the Medical Director for the Occupational Health Clinic. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Swift. I want to talk to you about color vision and color deficiency today. First of all, let me ask you, how common is being color deficient?
It's actually pretty common in men. It's less common in women. About 8 to 10% of males will have some form of inherited color vision deficiency. It's pretty rare in women, much less than 1%, because of the way it's transmitted on your genes. It's sex-linked for the most part.
So it's genetic. Is it also something that you can get over time or develop as a result of things other than genetics?
Yeah. People who develop eye disorders resulting from, for instance, diabetes or a condition called macular degeneration can have loss of color vision perception as part of that. They also have loss of visual acuity, so they aren't seeing as well overall. In addition to that, their color vision may or may not be affected in the course of that disease. So there are acquired forms of color vision deficiency. But more commonly, what we would see is inherited forms of color vision deficiency.
And why is this so important in healthcare, working in a place like Vanderbilt?
In healthcare, where it tends to come up is about testing that we do at the bedside. These are called point-of-care tests, and even some tests that are done in a laboratory are a color indicator test. The classic example that people might be familiar with is the home pregnancy test,
okay,
where you put some urine on a test strip, and you're looking for a red line or a pink line or a blue line to come up on the test. And so if your job is to interpret those tests, there's a concern about whether you're able to actually see those colors very well. But it turns out that people really adapt very well and are able to do that.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you can't do the job. There are just some adaptations for it.
Right. Our ability to see color depends on a type of cell in the eye called a cone. You've heard of rods and cones, maybe.
Yeah.
Cones are the ones that interpret color. And there's three different kinds of cones in the eye. And depending on the kind of cone that's deficient or absent, it determines what kind of color you can see. So red-green color blindness is the most common kind of color blindness, and there's two different cones that might be affected for that.
Okay.
So someone could be red-green color blind because they're missing the cones that are sensitive for red light, and they could be because they're missing the cones that are sensitive for green light. Okay. And one of those is the most common type of inherited color blindness. Red-green color blindness is far and away the most common type of color blindness. Then there's blue-yellow color blindness. And that's when you're deficient or missing the third type of cone. And that looks very different. If you're looking at the world through a blue-yellow colorblind person's eyes, you would have some difficulty confusing blue with green, and you'd have difficulty confusing yellow with violet.
Hmm.
But you can see the difference between red and green very, very well.
What can people do about it if they have one of these deficiencies? Are there things that can be done other than adapting?
For the mild forms of color vision deficiency, it's important to just have good lighting. Have you ever been outside after dark and not been able to tell the difference in a color? Or have you ever dressed in the dark and come to work and found out you have one blue sock and one black sock?
Yeah, I haven't done that, but I've known of people that have.
Or you're wearing your brown shoes and your black socks. In low light levels, we all lose the ability to detect color. For people who have milder color vision deficiencies, they're just more dependent upon having good illumination. So having good light is very important for people with milder forms. It's important to recognize that you have a color vision deficiency, and by the time you're an adult, most people know this because they've dressed themselves and people have pointed out that, hey, what are you doing wearing that shirt with those slacks, right?
Are there tests that the Occupational Health Clinic does, or how do they get involved on identifying color deficiency?
We do have a test available that just detects red-green color deficiency. It's called the Ishihara color plates. This is the most common way that doctors diagnose color vision deficiency, is using these Ishihara plates. An ophthalmologist may be also able to distinguish those people that have blue, yellow color vision deficiency. There are some self-tests on the web that are kind of fun to play around with, but the problem that you have to be alert for is that the settings on your monitor, if you're doing one of these self-screening tests, may not be set up correctly to detect color vision deficiency, especially if it's mild. So while there are some fun self-screening tests that you can do if you just Google color vision tests on the internet, they're not really validated because everybody's monitor is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But your doctor, your ophthalmologist can screen you, and most doctors in the occupational health clinic can really only screen you for the red-green color vision deficiency. But real life helps you to distinguish the other one. So it really comes down, if when you're doing these sorts of tests in a medical setting, you have to do what's called a competency test on an annual basis. And that involves taking the exact test that you have to work with and seeing how well you do at matching that color. And it also makes sure that you're collecting the specimen right and that you're reading it at the appropriate amount of time. And all of that is called a competency test. If people can pass that competency test, then they've demonstrated the ability, whether or not they are seeing the same thing that you or I are seeing, but they've demonstrated the ability to read the test accurately. And so it's very possible to be completely competent at doing these tasks because you're interpreting the test correctly.
While still being colorblind.
While still being colorblind.
Okay. Well, that's a fascinating topic. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about that.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us any comments on this Wellcast by clicking the Add New Comment link at the bottom of this page. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us link on our website at healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu. That's all one word, .vanderbilt.edu.